maybe just to underline what you just said, we can read John chapter 8, verse 31. In the verses before, starting from verse 28, the Lord Jesus already says, I do nothing of myself. Of course, he is the first example, but just read verse 31. If ye abide in my word, ye are truly my disciples, and here it comes, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I think also what are the conditions for us if we want to abide in the Lord, and we should maybe turn to Acts chapter 11. Verse 23. Acts 11, verse 23. Seeing the grace of God, rejoiced and exhorted all, with purpose of heart, will abide with the Lord.
Amen. I'd just like to, as time is running out on us here, verse 10. Oh, sorry, you had a hand up? Sorry. Students do that to me all the time.
I see that.
But in verse 10, I notice the scriptures tell us very clearly that there are two classes of people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Very, and the thing about John's readings, they are very clear cut. It's either here nor there. It's one or the other. It's nothing in between. So he says in verse 10, in this the children of God are the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. So I had a little column, if you had a little board, you can put up children of God, children of the devil. Think of that in your mind. And the characteristics of a child of God are, as it says, are manifested, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So that's in the devil's children, as it were. Nor is he who does not love his brother. So in a negative sense, those are two things that characterize a person who is a child of the devil. They do not practice righteousness, as we said before, nor do they love their brother. And if you read on there, there's an example of a person who did not love his brother. To me, that's an example. Cain is an example of one who did not love his brother, right? Which we all know the story. And then in verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. This is an example of the Lord Jesus, who was the perfect example of love. So I just thought that would be, you know, as an overview, we see that on the one hand, you've got children of God, children of the devil. And children of the devil are marked by certain things. And sadly, no one likes to think that way, folks. But this world, if you go through this world, you either are a child of God or a child of the devil.
Yeah.
Nothing else. There are no other options.
So did I interrupt somebody else?
No.
Just this additional thought on verse 10. I think verse 10 is the function of looking back and summarizing what's just been said, and looking ahead and summarizing what's going to be said. There are these two themes that you mentioned, Sam, about practicing righteousness and then showing love. Practicing righteousness and showing love. And before we speak about the second half of that, could anybody just think of, I have a scripture in mind, does anybody else have a scripture in mind of where these two things are put together? Practicing righteousness and loving one another. This is not the first time that, this is not the only time in Scripture that these two things are put together. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
He that loves his neighbor fulfills the whole law.
Very good. You have a reference for that?
Only in the Gospel.
Actually, there's a similar thought in Romans 13, that love is the fulfilling of the law. Love does not work ill to his neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law, and also in the Gospels. Good. Andre? Oh, sorry.
He's putting his hand.
Waiting again.
Fanning now.
Well, I was thinking, too, of even what the Lord himself said when somebody came and said, what's the greatest commandment? And the Lord said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So I think this is a similar summary here, that towards God, a heart towards God, and then working that out by showing love to one another too. And then this negative example of Cain, Cain was just mad because his own works were evil, his brothers were righteous, and he was condemned for it. So he thought he'd get his brother out of the way. But that's not Christian behavior. Christian behavior is to prove our love for God and prove our working outworking of righteousness by the way we behave with one another. And this is so challenging. We want to spend the minutes we can just looking at some of those highlights.
We talked about God is light, and that would probably correspond to this matter of righteousness. And now we find out that what marks those in his family is this matter of love. And later on, right, God is love, the next chapter. This matter of love, we had it in the big Bible study, in the morning Bible study, yesterday, the day before yesterday. That love's not a feeling. That you don't fall into love. That love is really a choice. Love is an act of will. God so loved that he gave. It's an act of will. And this matter of loving the brethren, loving one another, I think we could do some real soul searching as to what that really means. It's not about feeling good about the brothers, brethren. Because sometimes they're irritating people. And you don't feel good about it. It's having an act of will that says, I am going to do what is right by God's standard to help that person. You know what? The feelings will come. But the point is, I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to do and act towards everyone who is born of God with the idea that I'm going to do whatever I can to assist and to aid them and to further them on in their life. That's what love is. It's an act of will. And I think we need to really think through that. Think about how we talk about one another. Think about how we treat one another, what we say behind one another's backs. The reality of what we're talking about here cuts real deep. Because it says the evidence of those who are born of God, the evidence who are living the life, it says they love the brethren. The Lord teaches it a very simple way in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, treat others as you yourself would like to be treated. So if you take a tape recorder and you record how you chewed out so-and-so and said, oh, they were so long. And you just, rewind the tape and stick your name in there as if someone was talking about you, how would you feel? Mm-hmm. It's a very real thing. In fact, it's so real that the Lord hinged the value of the public testimony to his name on the reality that his children love one another. Act with a certain disposition towards each other for their betterment. He says, by this the whole world will know that you're my disciples when you have love for me. This is serious. This is where it really cuts real deep when we examine this matter of love and the brethren.
So could we have, just briefly, some comments on these verses? How do we show this love? The scripture doesn't leave us to imagine that. How do we show this love? Just give some quick comments or references to the phrases here or elsewhere.
If you keep his commandments, if you look in the latter epistles of John, I think it's Second John, I think it is.
And Third John, right.
We know that we love him if we keep his commandments.
And how about love for others, love for the brethren, love for fellow believers? How will we demonstrate that?